السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک له. ونشهد ان سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الايمان بضع وسبعون شعبه، افضلها قول لا اله الا الله، وادناها اماطه الاذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. صدق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters listening over the receivers and at the madrasa. Over the past few days, or in fact from the since the beginning of the month of Ramadan, we have been discussing these issues. But this Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam we have discussed at length over the past few days after the Zuhr Salat. But just to give you again the gist and then to continue, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that Iman has over 70 branches. The superior most branch, the highest branch, or we can say the tallest branch, the afzal branch, is La ilaha illallah. And the closest one, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, is the removal from the path of people anything that would cause any kind of injury and pain. By way of explanation, anything that will cause any kind of injury, pain, hurt, difficulty. Because we have a new audience today, so I've explained this at length. But just for the purposes of those who haven't been listening or haven't been here, that I emphasize the point that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that the branch that is closest is that branch where the person is told that he removes something that will cause any kind of injury and pain to anybody, then that is a branch of Iman. So then where can there be justification for a person to cause purposely any kind of injury, pain and difficulty for someone? When it is Iman to remove something that will cause any kind of obstacle, difficulty, pain, problem, injury to someone, then who can ever justify, for example, parking in front of somebody's driveway without permission of the owner? Who can justify just throwing banana peels, mandarin peels, or anything else over which somebody can slip and fall? Or who can justify the throwing of dirt and filth and rubbish in front of somebody's gateway just because the truck is going to pick it up in the morning? So now we take our dirt and put it in front of somebody's gateway, and all the stench they must take, put it on the pavement where there is a normal place to put the dirt on the municipal pavement, but in such a way that it does not cause any kind of obstruction to people. Now, if a blind person is walking and he has to trip. So these are just simple examples which we have not even concerned about. We don't even take these things to be part of our Islam, our Deen, our Sharia. But if we have to look at our lives within our homes and outside our homes, the way that we operate, we will find that most of the times we are causing some kind of obstruction, some kind of problem for somebody or the other. I mentioned that even in one's own home, where something is of common usage, where the people of the home commonly use it, the parents, the wife, the children, whoever is in that home, then even those things, after having used it, adab and etiquette demands that the person replace it in the same position and the same place where it would be easy for the people of the house to find it. Don't cause obstruction, don't cause pain, problem. If the light suddenly goes off, and the torch is always kept at a certain place. Now this person required the torch to check what's happening with his engine. The car engine was giving some problem, so at night he took the torch from there to check up what's happening in the engine. Now when he comes back into the house, because the house belongs to him, the torch belongs to him. So now he is unconcerned, he takes it and puts it anywhere. So we won't say that's a sin. We won't say that this person now has committed some major sin. Because the torch belongs to him, he is the owner of the house. But he knows that that torch is normally used by the people of the house. That if the lights have to go off, ND123730, please remove your car. He knows that if the lights have to go off, then the family in the house will look for the torch at the place where it is normally kept. Now if they don't find it there, then it's going to cause inconvenience. These are the things which we term as the etiquettes and the adab. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is emphasizing on this. We should remove anything that would cause any kind of pain, injury, hurt, problem, any kind of obstacle. Remove it. Don't cause it. So we discussed it at length over a few days, gave different examples, and then we came to the third part. That is haya. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says is shu'batun min al-iman. So we were discussing that, and I was explaining that as far as haya is concerned, every community, every society, every people, they have their own norms, which they call as haya. They have their own norms. If you go to the beachfront now, then you will find lots of them dressed semi-naked. But if you have to ask them, they will say no, they are adopting modesty. They are adopting modesty because they are not totally naked. So therefore that's modesty. Now will Islam term that as modesty? In the same way, in all other aspects of our life, there are so many examples and there are so many that are coming to mind, but I don't want to go in that direction now, otherwise we won't get anywhere. That if you have to look at our lives and compare it with their lives, there are so many things in their dressing, in their eating and drinking habits. Like if you go to somebody's house who is a non-Muslim, then the table will be laid out, and on the table, that person who is our host, himself, his wife, his daughters, his children, they all will sit on the table. And if we are guests there, then we will have to sit on the same table with our wife, with our daughters, with our children. Now if somebody has to enter that home and leave fellow non-Muslims, I'm talking about even in Muslim homes now. Now if somebody has to enter that home and say, no, look, dish out separately for the men and dish out separately for the women folk, because these women folk of yours, they are not my mihram. They are not my sisters. They may be sisters in Islam, but they are not my blood sisters. They are not my aunts. They're not my grannies. So therefore Islam says that now there should be a separate seating. There should not be such kind of free mingling and intermingling that afterwards it leads to major problems. So much so that brothers in the same home, brothers. Now the brothers, it is not permissible for them to sit with the sister-in-laws and talk all worldly affairs and joke and laugh, because that is what then leads to problems. It has led to problems and it will lead to problems. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the brother-in-law is mouth. Parda dari ka aaj ye natija nikla. Jisko samjhe the bhatija, wo beta nikla. Jisko samjhe the beta, wo bhatija nikla. Parda dari ka aaj ye natija nikla, jisko samjhe the beta, wo bhatija nikla. Akbar Allahabadi, Allah Ta'ala reward him. In a very, very beautiful way, he put across lots of things in his humorous way. But there were serious issues which he discussed in this manner. He says, those homes in which the brother-in-laws are freely intermingling with the wives of the brother, So then sometimes it happens, and not sometimes, in many cases it has happened, that the brother thought that it was son, that his son was born. He says, but in reality it was not his son that was born, it was his brother's son. Understand what I am saying? We want to put all these things under the carpet and we say that these things are haya. That is not haya. What is not supposed to be haya, we say haya, that these things must not be discussed. But that is the truth, what I am telling you. We are facing cases like that. Where afterwards then they say, no, this is my son, and that one says, it's my son. So how did it all start? If there had been parda, it would not have started. So someone said that in many cases there is parda, but still this is happening. There is parda, but still it is happening. So that cannot be true. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi says that can never be true. It can never be true that there was parda, proper parda, and this happened. Look at his wisdom. Says it cannot be true. There has to be somebody breaking the parda first, then it happened. There must be somebody that broke the parda first. So out of necessity, sometimes it is necessary to talk some strange woman or some deal with some strange woman, deal with some cases, or for the doctors and for others. So they too, the person has to control his gaze and talk how much is necessary, and keep that taqwa in the heart, that Allah Ta'ala is watching. Allah Ta'ala knows with what intention this person is talking. It is permissible, we are not saying not permissible. Look at the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majmain, the Tabi'in, 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 there are so many instances where they had to speak. But look at the taqwa levels that they maintained. So I am explaining to you that haya, we are talking about haya, it is a shawbah and a branch of iman. That we must not look at the norms of the society and then say, but what is wrong with this, what is wrong with that? So therefore he says, parda dari ka aaj ye natija nikla, jisko samjhe the beta, wo to bhatija nikla. Because those young brothers, they will come in and out of the house, communal living, so we can't avoid it sometimes, it's difficult. So at that time, at least the person can eat separately. Is it written in any kitab that you have to eat together, you have to sit together, you have to watch the TV in the lounge together? Now the TV in the lounge business also, by way of example, now we're talking about haya. That modesty and shame, it is a branch of iman. Now the person has got a TV, one TV in the lounge or somewhere. Now that is a different issue again, whether that one is right or wrong too. But, so in the first place that one itself is a problem, and now to multiply the problem, to add to the problem, the husband, the wife, the mother, the daughter, the sisters, the brothers, all are watching. Special rooms are designated for TV watching. That means we are very pious people, very righteous people, God-fearing people, and we fast in Ramadan. So our level of taqwa is very, very high. So therefore we don't go to the cinema. Because of our very high level of taqwa, we don't go to cinema. So then what do? Bring the cinema into our house. So the taqwa rule will not apply now. Because we have brought the cinema into the home. All these films and movies and videos and everything which is being watched in the lounge and in the separate room, separate facility. Where we are talking about separate facility for women folk in the masajid and other places, is a separate facility for programs. So now here they've got separate facility for the TV watching. And what does that mean? That now all are going to glue themselves to the television screen. Now where is the haya gone? What kind of things are going to come onto the screen? So now if you have to ask a non-Muslim, is there anything wrong with this? What will the non-Muslim say? Will it say it is against haya? Will any non-Muslim say, no, this is against haya. It is not modest, it is immodest, it is immoral. No non-Muslim will tell you that's immoral. So now will we say that because the non-Muslim said it's not immoral, because they're not doing anything, they are just watching, they are not themselves engaging in adultery or fornication or anything of that sort. We are just watching. So just watching according to the legislation of the government, it is not prohibited. So if it is not prohibited by the government, so therefore it is now haya and modesty if you have to all get together around the TV and watch. Now will any Muslim accept it if he's a true Muslim? Now examples I can give you from now till tahajjud time. Many, many different examples and we can carry on. But these few examples that I gave to you is just to illustrate and to explain that whenever it comes to haya and modesty, then we don't look at the usools and the principles of those living around us in different societies and people of different cultures, people of different habits, people of different faiths and people of different religions. Now, we are not going to look at them and then say, well, this is modest. This is haya. As far as the dressing is concerned, there are regulations. There are certain things that a person, or certain parts of the body that the person has to cover. But then, the person has to also observe etiquettes. Now for Zuhur Namaz, if every man that came for Zuhur Namaz, because they were told in some Imam Sahib's waaz, or some fatwa kitab, or they did some masail in the madrasa and in the maktab and in the Darul Uloom, where it said that it is necessary for the men to cover from the navel to the knee as satr. When making salat, that much must be covered. That's compulsory. So now if everyone that came to the masjid came without vest and shirt today, what will we say? That looks like this whole community has gone off their heads. And also if the imam is in the same state, then they will say, send him to the Qabristan or send him to the asylum. Now, why did we say that? We said there's etiquette, this adab, this modesty, this haya that has to be adopted. So our usuls are different and their usuls are different. For them, anything immodest is also modest. What is left now in their dictionaries and in their terminology, what is left? What is modesty? Can anybody ask them and say, what is modesty? Tell us, what is haya? You all talk about modesty, you talk about haya. What is haya? Tell us something. What is haya? You can mix, intermingle freely with their wives, with their daughters, and you can court for ages before you get married, and you can even have a few children before you decide to engage. First they have children, then they decide on engagement. Now is that modesty? So why do we want to destroy our iman? Why don't we want to follow Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's beautiful deen, in which there's so much of protection of not only our iman, but the sukoon of our hearts. We will find peace, we will find tranquility, we will find some kind of contentment in the hearts. The person will not be in fear all the time that I don't know what's happening behind my back. And the wife will not have that fear that I don't know what my husband is doing when he leaves home. And what is happening when I'm out of home. Look at the amount of problems people are experiencing. Sometimes when you look at those letters that come and we don't know what to reply. We have to say the same things, but when you tell them what has to be done, what prescription to take, then at that time they feel that that is immodest. What we are recommending is immodest. What will somebody say? How can we stay in one home and still the ladies must eat separate and men must eat separate? So in which kitab it is written? Any fatwa there is? Any hadith sharif there is? The brothers can be good with the brothers, entertain them, welcome them, make them sit, make them eat, make them drink and have a good relationship. But is it necessary to have the same relationship with his wife also? So, al-haya'u shu'batum min al-iman. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has beautifully said that, what is haya? What is haya? We can say lots of things about haya. He says, what is haya? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had said that if haya goes away, then faf'al ma shi'ta. Or fasna' ma shi'ta. Once haya goes, then after that, that person you just cannot put any kind of tear on him. Then you must expect the worst from him. He will do anything. He is not going to be concerned after that because his haya is gone. Now the different levels of haya and all that I'm not discussing now. All I'm saying is this, that he, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, he says that what is haya? فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَا. What is the haqiqat of haya? أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ. That your Mawla, your Rabb, your Creator, He must not find you in those places, in those actions, in those deeds, in those situations, by way of explanation. In any kind of action that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited and forbidden, Allah Ta'ala must not find you there. That is the haqiqat of haya. That means a person must have so much of haya for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Sometimes we have a little bit of shame in our hearts to say that somebody is going to watch, somebody is going to see if I do this, my parents will come to know, wife will come to know, children will come to know. So then they restrain themselves. Now we will say that is also ghanimat. It is also to some extent a kind of a acceptable deed that the person, for whatever reason, he abstained from indulging and engaging in something shameless. The person wanted to watch some filthy film or some other kind of video, but now in that home, on that day he didn't expect, but visitors came away. So now he is not putting it on because there are visitors in the home. If he had been alone and just his wife had been there, so then even if the wife was a little pious, and she was not happy that this person watches it, but he will tell the wife that you mind your own business, I am watching. Who is there to stop me? He'll talk like that. But now because some visitors came away, so because of those visitors, the person is restraining himself. So we'll say at least the person had some 1% of haya that he did not do it in front of the visitors. But is that a Muslim? That if visitors are there, then he does not do those haram actions. And if there's no visitors, so then after that there's nobody watching. Therefore I repeat that my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, in one majlis, for almost 1 hour, 1 hour, one solid hour, the person was told to read just that one Shaykh. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman. He told him, go on, carry on, same thing, carry on. There's no question there of just ashar and poetry. It wasn't for entertainment. And the best part is all those who were sitting there for 1 hour, if you have to listen just one line, then you will say we got bored. But instead of getting bored, tears were flowing from the eyes of the people. Hearts were being stirred. The connection was being built with Allah Ta'ala. Recognition of Allah Ta'ala was coming into the hearts. That same talk that you hear always in the month of Ramadan from different people on taqwa, taqwa. That we give up our food and our drink and our carnal passions and desires in the month of Ramadan for no other reason except that it is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And He is watching. Therefore, even in the privacy of our homes, no matter how hungry and thirsty, but we don't want to eat and drink. A person is just married, he's got a pretty new wife, but if he's got taqwa, then he will say it is my Allah Ta'ala's hukam that we must stay separate from carnal passions. So that is what was happening. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Read again, again and again, for 1 hour. What was he doing? Sometimes at hospitals, they put drips. That person is dehydrated, or that person has undergone an operation, or that person has lost a lot of blood, or whatever it may be, now he requires drips. So what do? They put the drip on, and if the person's hand is like that, he must leave the hand like that. If the hand is like that, he must leave it like that. Whatever it is, they'll say there's a needle here, just leave it like that. Don't move your hand. Now you ask the doctor that for how long? He says, well, until this drip is not over, until that bottle is not empty. Now sometimes it's 1 hour, sometimes it's 2 hours, and then drip one by one, one by one, one by one. Now that time somebody doesn't say that for 1 hour the same drip, for 2 hours the same drip. Doctor, I get tired after the first two drops that go into my system, then must throw it away, change it, put a new one there. The doctor will say that for you, not two, will need another 10 after this. And the same thing. And it will keep on going, drop by drop, drop by drop. And very slow drops too, not very fast. That is the cure for you. So these doctors, they are talking about physical ailments and physical diseases, which at the end of the day is going to lead to the qabristan. At the end of the day, the person's body is going to perish. We don't say that we must not make an effort to revive the person or to give something that will give him strength and health. But if the person was left without treatment, at the most what will happen is that he'll end up in the qabristan. But here, if that person is not given the right drips and he is not revived in time, and the person is losing blood drop by drop, drop by drop, spiritual blood, then he will lose his iman. So because of the low level of our iman, that we listen and we listen and we listen and we do the same thing the moment we come outside. So therefore the mashayikh, sometimes realizing that the audience that is there are people like us, so therefore they repeat the same thing, they give that same drip. So for 1 hour he said, jo karta hai to chupke ahle jahan se. Jo karta hai to chupke ahle jahan se. When you hide and do your deeds and actions from the people of the world, that means haram actions. And when you think that nobody is watching, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Your creator who has given billions of people sight. And where did he give the sight? In the mother's stomach. In the darkness of the mother's stomach. If he blessed billions of people with sight, how can he not be aware? How can he not be seeing what we are doing? So my respected brothers, it says, haqiqat of haya is this, that your Mawla, your Allah, must not find you, or Allah Ta'ala, that you must not be engaged in anything that is disobedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul's laws. You must not be rebellious. This morning, Fajr time again, and once again, that is for Islah, so therefore it seems to be coming again like the drop from the drip. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se kaisi bagawat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se kaisi bagawat hai. There is a little enjoyment in sins. But what kind of rebellion is it against Allah Ta'ala? It's rebellion. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. A little while of pleasure can be lifelong of regret. Janaza abru ka dafn karna ये कैसी हिमाकत है, एंड स्पेशली फॉर पीपल लाइक अस विद अवर बियर्ड्स एंड विद अवर टोपीज एंड विद अवर कुर्ताज, वेयर वी आर गोइंग इनटू गटर लाइंस. If we are going to be in the gutter lines, how are we going to guide others? Those who have got taluk with masajid, with madaris, with khanqas, with tabligh and dawat, with dini institutions, dini organizations. So how can we be burying, how can we be making fatiha over the janazah of our respect? At that time we must say, ایسی لذتوں کو قابل لعنت سمجھتے ہیں جس سے دوست و رب میرا ناراض ہوتا ہے. ایسی لذتوں کو قابل لعنت سمجھتے ہیں, that kind of enjoyment we consider it to be cursed enjoyment. جس سے رب میرا دوست و ناراض ہوتا ہے, that enjoyment from which my رب, my Allah becomes ناراض and displeased. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow after Zuhr, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health, and another opportunity. How many minutes left? 45 minutes. 15.
یار رہے یار اب تو میرا اور میں تیرا یار رہوں, یار رہے یار اب تو میرا اور میں تیرا یار رہوں, مجھ کو فقط تجھ, مجھ کو فقط تجھ سے ہو محبت, خلق سے میں بیزار رہوں, ہر دم ذکر و فکر میں تیرے مست رہوں, سرشار رہوں, ہوش رہے نہ مجھ کو کسی کا تیرا مگر ہوشیار رہوں. اب تو رہے بس تادم آخر ورد زباں اے میرے الہ, لا الہ الا اللہ, 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 محمد رسول اللہ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام, يا ذا الجلال, يا أرحم الراحمين, ہم تیرے گنہگار بندے, وی یور سنفل سرونٹس مائی اللہ, دا ویکسٹ ان دا امت آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ایکسٹریملی ویک مائی بلوڈ اللہ, ان اعمال, ان ایکشنز, ان گڈ ڈیڈز, اور ایمان مائی بلوڈ اللہ ایکسٹریملی ویک. Whatever we may be, we are your slaves. We are not the slaves of some idol that cannot see us, cannot help us, cannot forgive us, cannot change our condition.
My beloved Allah, we have believed in you. Our lives in your control. Our health in your control. The ground on which we walk on in your control. The heavens and the earth in your control. My beloved Allah, you blessed us with Iman, you blessed us with Islam. We were not deserving of it. In this Mubarak month of Ramadan, my beloved Allah, we have extended our begging bowls before you. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, mujrim hai, khatakar hai, sab kuch hai, bande magar tere. Ab to maaf kar de. Forgive us, my Allah, forgive us. Open the floodgates of your maghfirat for us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. We are in need, my Allah. Hum muhtaj hain. Tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kahan? There is no other door for us. There is no other home for us. There is no other deity for us. My beloved Allah, there is no one for us besides you. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Hum tumhara dil hamara chahiye. My heart and your muhabbat. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Give us the realization that you are all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Give us the realization, my beloved Allah, that there is going to be a day of judgment. Change the condition of our hearts. Bless us all with good health. We are sick and ailing, my Allah. We are complaining to you, my Allah, for weakness. My beloved Allah, we are complaining to you of our weakness. Bless us all with good health, physical health and spiritual health. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, greed, pride, arrogance, envy, jealousy. Bless us with the barakat of this holy month, with the rahmat and blessings of this holy month. Give us the tawfiq to fast in the appropriate manner. To distance ourselves from everything displeasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whosoever is sick and ailing, whether they in hospitals or clinics or homes or amongst us, bless everyone with complete shifa. My beloved Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in poverty, give them halal wealth. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs, bring them back onto Sirat and Mustaqim. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering of the ummah around the globe. Let the winds of hidayat blow throughout the continents. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat. Remove the pains and problems of mankind around the globe. When the time of our death comes, don't let us die in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, porn sites, drugs, drink, wine, illicit women. My beloved Allah, when the time of our departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with Shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with burial in Baqi. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On a Sunday afternoon, my beloved Allah, these brothers and so many of our sisters left out all the distractions and attractions and raise their hands before you. My beloved Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And you are well aware, my beloved Allah, of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problems of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan. My beloved Allah, you listen to du'as, you accept du'as. And especially in this Mubarak month. Ya Allah, with your fazl, remove their pain, suffering, difficulties, their problems, their diseases, their sicknesses. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim, wa tub 'alayna, innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم